Well, folks, good morning again. The pollen seems to have me a little bit scattered this morning. I feel a little bit foggy-headed, and I've already forgotten some things. Brother Clay, it's good to have you here. You've had some procedures yourself, and we appreciate you being here. It's always uplifting when you're able to be in our presence. And, folks, I failed to remind you of our communion service next Sunday at 10 o'clock in our Easter Sunday. Easter services, please be in prayer for that. It's a special day. And, of course, Palm Sunday ties in with that. Folks, as we go into Palm Sunday today, it's the beginning of many churches, many different denominations refer to this as Holy Week. And it is a Holy Week. And we're going to get into that a little bit in our message. But, folks, I want us to recognize so much transpired in this week, beginning on Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, a triumphant entry. And I want to focus on that, but I also want to focus on a few other things. As we start this message, folks, I want to reemphasize that I started a few Sundays ago. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And that's very important as we face this last week before the crucifixion. We need to recognize that from the perspective from what Jesus was dealing with. Have you ever thought about what was on the mind of our Savior, Jesus Christ? But one thing that we know, He came to do the will of the Father. And as it says, and I've used this now for three Sundays, and this particular verse is important. He said it in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. Folks, you might call that the mission statement. Some people say, why do we need a Savior? Well, Jesus just told us He came to do the will of the Father. And God knew that we needed a Savior because, folks, we couldn't save ourselves from our sins. See, God is a holy God, a righteous God, and the requirement for breaking His law was death. We all experience death. We're all sinners. And there was no way out of death except for the precious blood that only Jesus Christ, who was righteous, could shed to pay the price for our sin debts. Not everybody around the world believes that, folks. But those who seek God through Jesus Christ know that we need a Savior. And that's the reason that Christ came. That's what was the reason He came. And that was He knew that from the beginning. And folks, that was on His heart as He faced this week. It was on His heart throughout His entire ministry. I think you should look now on the screen. I have up here three different occasions in three different Gospels. This coincides and substantiates the harmonies of the Gospel. Three times that Jesus predicted His death. The first two are outlined there, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And those are the passages. If you want to write them down, I'll pause for just a moment. The very first time, and then the second time, where He predicted His death and what would happen. He told the disciples. But the disciples did not understand. But all this was necessary and was leading up, really starting on Palm Sunday. And as we would face the cross, He told the disciples what would happen. And then the third time He told his disciples, in the next And on the next screen, in Matthew, again Mark, and Luke, we see the harmonies of the gospel. They're all recorded where He predicted His death. But I want to read to you the passage that we find in Luke, Luke 18. And He took the 12 aside because they were going to Jerusalem, folks. This is close to the time of Palm Sunday. And He took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And all things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For He will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge Him and kill Him. And the third day He will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. They didn't know. The disciples didn't know. I don't think that they could have bore it at the time. It was heavy. You know, folks, sometimes we read these passages and we don't feel the full impact. The disciples loved Jesus. Peter said he would be willing to die for him. They all loved him. They had all followed him now for almost 3 years. And Jesus was telling them some very hard things. But there's an important part of this passage that Jesus said, and I want you to consider this. As I mentioned a moment ago, what was on the heart and mind of our Savior as he approached Jerusalem? He said that all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. All things. Have you thought about all things written? I'm going to read to you a couple of passages in just a moment. But I want you to remember this about Jesus. What does John tell us about Jesus? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made through Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. Folks, Christ knew what was about to take place. He knew all of it, and yet still He came. He came to this earth to do the will of the Father. He knew what lay ahead of Him. And He knew everything that was written about Him. What do the prophets write about Him? Jesus just said everything was about to be accomplished. Well, if we turn to Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah is a wonderful prophetic book, and he talks about Jesus in multiple places. But in chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We all know this passage. We think of Christmas. But folks, it applies to Easter too. It's a very important part of Easter. Then in Luke, again, this is a Christmas passage, but in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Folks, I'll tell you right now, there was no peace towards people without Jesus Christ. There is no peace without Jesus Christ. I pray that you have peace in your hearts today as you think about our Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about all the things that were written about Him. There's another prophecy regarding specifically to Palm Sunday, and it comes from Zechariah. It was already in our responsive reading. But I want to read it again. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Folks, that's important prophecy. We'll get into that in just a moment. But now this brings us to Palm Sunday. These things were written beforehand. Jesus knew every one of them. He is the Word of God. He knows everything that was written. And now we go to Palm Sunday and His triumphal entry. Folks, again, this is found in all four Gospels. It substantiates the harmony of the Gospels. I want to share with you the first one taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 13. Please read along with me as we look at this. And I want you to keep in the back of your mind, keep thinking about what was on the mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He rode into Jerusalem. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and immediately He will send them." Now, folks, I don't know how long it took the disciples to go, but He's telling them beforehand what's going to happen. This may have seemed strange to the disciples, but they were obedient. They went and did what He said. Would they find it exactly the way Jesus said? How many times did Jesus predict the future? It's just another small little inference that we overlook to his deity, to his majesty, who Jesus was. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey," which was prophesied in Zechariah, which we just read, many hundreds of years before. See, Jesus said he was going to fulfill all things that were written about him, and now he's fulfilling it because he is the Christ. And folks, it's important that he was on a donkey. You see, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey for a specific reason, and we'll see that in just a moment. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And that's important. We'll come back to that. So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Now, folks, I want to read just this next passage, and we're going to stop for just a moment. This is taken from Luke. "Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the disciples called to him from the crowd," some of the Pharisees, excuse me, "'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Now, folks, I want you to think about something. Two things. Three things, really. Jesus rode in on a donkey. They were spreading palm branches in front of him. The palm branches were cut down. There was a lot of symbolic meanings in those palm branches. They meant victory in lots of different ways. They had been used prior to this time. The last time they had cut down palm branches, Israel was still an independent nation before the Romans occupied them. You see, to the most of the people that were there, they thought Jesus was coming in as a conquering king to liberate them from Roman occupation. Jesus was riding in as a conqueror, riding in with victory, but for a different reason. You see, had he been a conquering king, he would have been riding a stallion, a horse, a symbolic imagery of war. But he rode in on a donkey. Donkey is a beast of burden. It symbolized peace, because he was bringing peace to his children. Because of the sacrifice that he would make at the end of this week, at the end of the road, you might say, there would be peace between God and man. Because of the blood that he will pour out on Calvary. He rode in the beginning of this week as the Lamb of God on a beast of burden, because, folks, he bore our burdens. And he came in to bring peace to sinners like me and you. Those palm branches were symbolic. Yes, they meant victory. But they were victory over sin. They were salvation for sinners like us. He will ride a horse when he returns. There will be a different victory coming. You know, Jesus is also called the Lion of Judah. But he came, and he came into Jerusalem lowly, meek, and humble as the Lamb of God, riding a donkey, giving this imagery of peace to everyone that he came before. But there were those who didn't like it. We just read here in Luke's account. There were two things here that was both in Matthew's and now in Luke. They both said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." This was found in the opening psalm that we read, Psalm 118. You see, folks, he fulfilled everything in his ministry here on earth. The Psalms are prophetic too. Some of them are. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He entered the gates of Jerusalem with peace, and he was coming in the name of the Lord. And then in Luke's account, it says peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That validates and substantiates what we just read before. And when the angels proclaimed that he was born, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and glory in the highest. But the Pharisees were not happy. You see, they saw this multitude, and when the Bible uses the terms multitude, it generally refers to many hundreds, if not thousands of people. Like when he fed the 5,000, they were called multitudes. There were a great gathering of people. Well, the Pharisees were upset because they weren't the center of attention, and that this stranger was taking captive, you might say, all the Jewish audience that they were trying to be in control of. The Romans weren't happy because they saw this great gathering of people wondering, is an insurrection about to begin? So there was a lot of things being stirred up. Another reason for riding in on the donkey, to symbolize peace and calm and tranquility. But the Pharisees were indignant, and they cried out to him, Jesus, rebuke your disciples. And what did he say? But he answered them and said, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Folks, I take that quite literal. He's the God of creation. And he created his people. And we are to praise him. We're told that many places in the Bible. I take this very literally. I believe that, well, the Bible tells us that all creation groans. And I believe these stones would have literally cried out had the disciples not been praising him. Both gospels, every gospel, praise him. Now, folks, that question, and Brother Walter, I apologize if I'm being hard to find. I know I'm not quite following what we have on our PowerPoint. I ask you the question, who is this that rode in? Who rode into Jerusalem? John told us, didn't he? John told us in John chapter 1, verse 29, when he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's who rode into Jerusalem, folks. That was the prophesied Lamb of God, and he was fulfilling everything that the Bible wrote about him. Hundreds of years before, he came to fulfill it. He came in as a Prince of Peace. Are you praising him? You ever thought about the rocks crying out? Doesn't that point to how important it is that God's people should be praising Jesus? In Isaiah, God said, The people I form for myself shall declare my praise. Declare my praise. How often do you declare the praise of Jesus? This is Holy Week. Around the world it's celebrated as Holy Week. In every country, every nation, people will be celebrating. Quite a few of the celebrations are very elaborate. Are we bold enough when we go to work, when we go homes, when we go to our communities? Will we praise God for what he has done for us? That he came to this earth to do the Father's will. Well, what was that Father's will? To save us from our sins so that not a single one would be lost. You know, if you thought about, what if Jesus had suddenly been like us and not been obedient? Where would we be, folks? Where would we be without our Savior, Jesus Christ? We would have no hope. But he was obedient because why? Because he loves us. You ever thought about that? What was on the mind of Jesus Christ? Look at yourself. Look at your life. Look at those sitting around you. We're all sinners. We're all unworthy of the great love that God has for us. We don't deserve that a suffering Savior would come to earth, leaving his heavenly home to save us from our sins. But Jesus did. Now, folks, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, because this would have been a lot to put on the PowerPoint, to the Gospel of John. I told you last week that I kind of skipped ahead and that we would come back to Palm Sunday. Well, Jesus has just rode into Jerusalem. And turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 12. And we'll start there in just a moment. But while you're turning, I want you to think of everything that transpired this week. He rides into Jerusalem. And he cleanses the temple. And he has all of the run-ins, I'll use that term, with the Pharisees. They want to stone him. They confront him at every turn. It is a hard, difficult week. He heals the blind man that was blind from birth. He forgives the adulterous woman. So many things took place in the temple, and the Pharisees were his antagonist at every step. And all of this to get to the end of the week where he would go to that cross for me and for you, for all of us not living right, undeserving sinners. Yet he came to be obedient to the will of the Father. And now if you have turned to the Gospel of John chapter 12, I want to begin reading in verse 27 through 41. And this is where we went over a little bit of this last Sunday. But these are the words of Jesus, chapter 12, starting in verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. For this purpose, Jesus Christ came. For this purpose. The purpose of dying on that cross, but not just to stay hanging and dead in the tomb, hanging on the cross and dead in the tomb, but to rise again on the third day, we know. But the disciples didn't know. Those that were following him didn't know. But Jesus told them, for this purpose I came. Where would we be without our Savior if he did not come? But for this hour, he came. And he was obedient to do the will of the Father because he loves us, folks. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people stood by and heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now as a ruler, this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Folks, he was obedient even to the cross. And he knew it. He knew it when he rode into Jerusalem. He knew it when he came to this earth. He knew it when he endured every trial, every suffering, every sorrow that he would go through for me and you. Yes, this is a victorious day, this Palm Sunday. We should be rejoicing. But we should be rejoicing with the fact knowing that he did all these things knowingly, obedient to the will of the Father, because he loves us. He rode in as that suffering lamb. You know, when the crucifixion comes on Good Friday, he is literally the Passover lamb of Easter. He shed his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. And he's telling the people here, this voice came for you. And now he's saying the most profound thing in this particular discourse. Now is judgment come into this world. Now the rule of this world will be cast out. For and if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. You see, Satan is going to be defeated when Jesus hangs on that cross and rises again that third day. And he would have come to fulfill the will of the Father, to save us from our sins, to redeem us to the Father, so that where he is, we will be also. If Jesus had not come, folks, there would be no salvation for God's people, because we could not pay that sin debt ourselves. Only Jesus could. And he knew that when he came. Skipping down to verse 35, Jesus said, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Folks, I made the comment last Sunday. We have the light of God. It's found here in the Bible. We don't have to walk in darkness. Folks, we need to, as Jesus said, live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that is written, everything that was written about Christ. This Holy Week, if at least just once a year, if we can turn our hearts and our minds to the Bible and to live it, to read it, to feast upon it, to be nourished by it, to believe every word that is written, and to see how unworthy we are to be the recipients of such a wonderful love as this. The Bible prophesied about it in the Old Testament. Jesus came and He fulfilled it. He came to do the will of the Father. And He did everything that God, the Lord commanded Him to do. As we finish this chapter, it is written, "Who has believed our report?" Starting in verse 37. Again, this was a prophecy from Isaiah. And we're going to turn there in just a moment. "But although He had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in Him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which He spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.' These things Isaiah said when he saw His glory and spoke of Him." You see, folks, some 700 years before, God revealed to the prophet Isaiah Jesus Christ and all the things that He would do. He prophesied about it. Everything that Isaiah prophesied, Jesus would fulfill. He came to do the will of the Father. And we can never forget that, folks. It's not that Jesus came and He had some message to give and the Pharisees didn't like it and they turned Him over to the Romans and He was killed. That's what the world will tell you. Oh, He was just this pious person. No, He was the Son of God. That's who rode into Jerusalem willfully, facing the cross for me and for you. Isaiah said a lot of other things about Jesus and prophesied about Him. So folks, I want you to think about, this is Palm Sunday. We need to rejoice because Jesus rode in victoriously into Jerusalem. He would be victorious over sin and over death. And He did that for me and you. So I want you to think about what was on His heart. I want you to think about what Isaiah prophesied about Him. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53 in your Bibles. And as you're turning there, I want you to think about this. Isaiah chapter 53. I want you to look at yourself. When you think about Jesus substituting Himself on that cross for us, look at your life. Look at your loved ones. Think about your sins. Think about your mistakes. Think about the trials. Think about the heartaches. Jesus knows them all. Yet still, He chose us. Before the foundation of the world, He knew us and He chose us. All of us unworthy people. In spite of those sins, in spite of those mistakes, God loved us. And He knew before He came. That's why He came, folks. Because we weren't worthy. We couldn't live a life good enough. We can't earn our salvation. Only Jesus could provide our salvation. And He did it because He loved you before the foundation of the world. And He did it to redeem us to the Father. So He endured that cross. And this is what Isaiah tells us that He would go through. So think about your life and how unworthy you are. And I am. And think about what, as Isaiah describes, what Jesus endured in your behalf. Who has believed our report? Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord be revealed? And let me stop here and say, thank God that Jesus has opened your eyes to believe the word of the gospel. Because he has revealed this report to you, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. He carries our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have all turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercessions for the transgressor. Folks, Jesus came knowingly to bear our sins, to pay the price on that horrible cross. This is a week of victory. Jesus rode in a humble manner, on a burden, on a colt that had never been ridden before. He was the sacrificial lamb of God. Only he could bring peace between man and God. Only he could pay the price for our sins. And he did so willfully. He did so humbly. Bearing all his burdens, bearing our burdens. Paying the price for sin that we could not pay ourselves. Everything that we just read here in Isaiah was fulfilled in this week. Every single one. He was wounded for our transgressions. We didn't have to hang on that cross because he did. If anyone deserved to, we did. Not Jesus. It said here, he rode in on a donkey as a prince of peace. It says they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence. Never once, even though he was a great creator, did Jesus do any violence. He came humbly. He came meekly. He came as a Lamb of God. But folks, we know the story, and we'll get into it next Easter Sunday. We know the victory that's waiting. But folks, I want you to know the terrible price, the terrible cost that was laid upon Jesus to secure that victory. The crucifixion is a death beyond compare. Yet he bore it for me and for you. Think about that this week. Think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21. as you thank God for His amazing grace, as you thank God that He came to do the will of the Father. Because the Father, the Bible tells us, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Folks, that's what Jesus Christ did for me and you. That's what Jesus was on the heart of Jesus when He rode into Jerusalem. Thank God, thank the Lord, that Jesus was obedient even to the death of the cross. I pray that this will weigh upon your hearts this week. I pray that it will make us more humble, more appreciative of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it will evoke praise from your lips for other people to hear. There should never be a need for the rocks to cry out. God's people should be proclaiming His praise because we have the victory in Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessings, is my prayer.